Alrighty, so for those of you guys out there that have been listening to this podcast for a very long time, especially those of you guys that have gone back and listened to episode one of the podcast, you guys know that from being up here in New England, before Disney was my number one hobby or my number one focus with my free time, it used to be sports. Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, that used to be my number one go-to thing. I would do fantasy football, fantasy baseball. I even did fantasy NASCAR at one point. But sports was the go-to thing. We were going to games in person, hanging out with friends, watching games at the bar or at their house or something. But sports was the go-to thing. So naturally, because of that, a lot of times when different things have come up here along the way in the Disney world, when I want to talk about it on the podcast, I use a sports metaphor to kind of get my point across. And if we're doing that here today, we're thinking about Peyton Manning coming up to the line in an NFL football game, and you hear him yelling out, "Omaha, Omaha," because he's calling an audible on the play that was already called. And I'm pulling an Omaha here on the DMSW podcast today, and we're going to do an audible. So I talked to you guys last week about the live-action Little Mermaid movie, and I told you that I had seen all three of the newest Disney movies that have just come out. I saw live-action Little Mermaid, we saw Pixar's Elemental, and we saw the newest Indiana Jones movie. And I kind of, like I said, I mentioned last week, we're going to be movie review heavy these next few weeks because I saw all three of these movies. Wanted to talk to you guys, wanted to let you know kind of my feelings and what I thought about those movies. But due to some unforeseen things happening in the Disney space this week, we're calling it audible, as I said here on this episode here today. And I think I'm going to kind of shock a lot of people here today because I'm going to say things on this podcast in this episode that I have never said officially on the record, on the podcast. I haven't made posts about this on Instagram yet. So this is brand new material, late breaking opinions here that you have not heard me talk about here before in the public space before. I've had some conversations with people off the record, behind closed doors, and we've talked about this subject, but this is the first time I am putting this opinion out there in a podcast episode in public where it can be referenced now going forward that, hey, I've said this. And it's a hot take, I think, for sure. It might be the hottest take that I've had so far to date since starting this podcast. And oddly enough, I think a quote that I can use that will describe what we do here on this podcast episode here today, we're going to go to my good friend Taylor Swift, who is currently touring around America right now, and millions and millions of Taylor Swift fans are going absolutely nuts, flocking to these concerts, sold out shows all over the country. And I think my girl Taylor has the perfect lyrics here that I can use that will describe what we're going to be doing here on this episode of the podcast today. So the quote reads, "Ooh, ooh, 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 ooh. You called me up again tonight, but ooh, 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 ooh. This time, I'm telling you, we are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together. Bob Iger and I have broken up, and we are never, ever, ever getting back together." Colby, give us that music, buddy. My name is Johnny J. You can call me T-Swizzle if you want. And this is episode 59 of the DMSW podcast. All right, so if you guys hopped in a DeLorean right now and went back in time and listened to previous You Know What Really Grinds My Gears episodes here on the podcast, you'd know basically, for the most part, it's been two things that really get under my skin and have really bothered me to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore and I had to kind of get all those feelings off my chest. And the first one was Bob Chapek as CEO. And the second one was Genie Plus, and Genie Plus again, and Genie Plus again, and Genie Plus again. So if we think about it, those takes were never really that hot of a take. I think most Disney fans were not very thrilled with the job that Bob Chapek was doing. Now, when I first started the Instagram feed that goes with this podcast at the DMSW podcast on Instagram, I never thought that that account would turn into what I'm using it for today. I thought for sure if you would talk to me before the podcast launched, hey, what are your intentions for the Instagram account? It would have been, I'm just trying to communicate when new episodes are coming out. If I have a guest coming on, I want to be able to share their story or who they're from. But basically, it was just an information exchange only to talk about what was going on the podcast. But as we all lived in this Chapek world, I quickly kind of figured out how to do a reel, and something that fit my sense of humor. I started making reels, basically just poking fun at Bob Chapek, trying to get other fans kind of, one, to obviously have a good laugh, but to try to rally the troops and get everybody kind of behind the idea of Chapek is a horrible CEO for Disney, and this guy has to go. But again, like I said, I think if you polled most Disney fans back during that Chapek CEO era, probably at least 85-80% of people also could not stand that guy and thought he was doing a horrible job. So it was never really that hot of a take to have. And even with Genie Plus, clearly, anybody that's listened to this podcast knows how much I cannot stand Genie Plus, how much I hate the Genie Plus system. But I'm going to do my best to not go on that tangent today and go diving into that argument again. We'll save that for a future episode when they change the system again or charge more for it. But even that subject there, I've put that in my Instagram stories before. Put it into a poll and said, are you like me? Do you absolutely despise Genie Plus? Are you somebody that doesn't really like it, wish it wasn't there, but it's a necessary evil? It's there. It's the only way you're going to get on the rides. So you do what you're going to do. You use it. Or do you absolutely love Genie Plus and think it's way better than FastPass Plus or anything else that Disney's had previously, and you think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you think it should stay? And even in those polls, which I've done multiple times, you get a handful of people that are like me, that they absolutely hate Genie Plus. And I'd say that's probably shakes out to around 20 to 25% of people when I do that poll. About 50 to 60% will say, I don't really like it, but it is what it is. So I just deal with it and I use it because that's the only system they got. We're stuck with it, so you might as well just use it because that's the only way you're going to get on the rides. And then another maybe 15, 20, 25% or so actually say they love it and it should just stay out there. So I think if we think back through the podcast here, when I air quotes here, talk about doing hot takes on the podcast, I never was really risking upsetting any part of the fan base, I don't think, or at least a major part of the Disney fan base, because, as I said, almost everybody hated Bob Chapek right along with me. And even the people that deal with Genie Plus, and even the people I think that say that they like it the way it is right now, I think if you gave all those people the option and said, you can get FastPass Plus back exactly the way it used to be, completely free, you get to book three things ahead of time, everything else will be exactly the same. Maybe not everybody, but I would have to guess at least 80-90% of people that deal with Genie Plus or say that they like it would hop right off that bus and get right back on the team Fastpass bus and would get behind that system again. So again, even that subject where I've torn it down every which way that I can, I've done multiple, you know, what really grinds my gears on that subject. I really don't think I was risking upsetting really that many people with that take. But as you heard in the open, based on what's happened this week in Disney, it's kind of reached a boiling point for me, and I am now officially saying on episode 59 of this podcast, for the first time, I am no longer Team Bob Iger. I am done. I have given my letter of resignation, sent it in, and I'm out. I am out on Bob Iger. I am done. I have given that guy as much patience and time as I can to start turning this thing around and start trying to change a lot of the things that happened because of the pandemic, post-pandemic, and under the Bob Chapek CEO era. And I haven't been seeing the types of things that I think the fans deserve to see. And I have been biting my tongue for a very, very, very long time. I honestly started kind of getting... It first started kind of rubbing me the wrong way after about 2 months or so when he had come back and had returned as CEO back in November of 2022. But I'm like, I can't be that guy. I've complained about Chapek for so long. I can't instantly start complaining about Bob Iger now that he's back. So I kept my mouth shut. Then I started seeing some other things coming up that were happening, and I was thinking to myself, if we were still in the Chapek era, people would be freaking out right now. They would be marching to the Magic Kingdom or Disneyland castle with pitchforks and flaming sticks to try to take Chapek out any way that they could. But for some reason, the blame would never be put on Bob Iger. And as a guy who, like I said, made every reel that I could, that anytime something happened in the Disney realm that people didn't like, something started to change in the wrong way, or something got messed up, we would all go after Chapek and put the blame 100% on his shoulders, like he was responsible for every single solitary thing that happened under the Disney umbrella. Probably unfair in retrospect, but as I sat here on the sidelines with Iger now back as CEO, I found myself thinking, as we were going through things, thinking, you know, again, if Chapek was still at the top chair right now, we would be dragging that guy across the coals, and nobody is saying one peep about Bob Iger with this going on. But again, I was just so nervous that everybody was excited, myself included, that not only was Chapek finally fired, but we all thought we were getting the great Bob Iger back, this guy that bought Marvel and Pixar and brought Star Wars to Disney. All these amazing, amazing things that happened under the Iger era before Chapek, before the pandemic, we thought we were getting that guy back. He was every cast member's favorite CEO. The cast members absolutely loved Bob Iger. So I think, like most fans, we were so excited that not only was Chapek gone, but Iger was the guy that we were getting back again. And I just didn't want to be that first person that came out and really started complaining about Bob Iger. So I kept my mouth shut here on the sidelines for a very long time. Then this week they announced that Disney extended his contract. Now, when he came back at the end of 2022, they announced that he was coming back on just a 2-year deal. And one of the most important things of him coming back was that he was supposed to help them find not only the next CEO, but also train them and basically put them on like a training program to learn from him while he was still currently the CEO. And then it would be a much smoother transition and a transition of power from Iger to whoever this new person was going to be. Now, that never happened. And like I said, this week they just announced that he got a 2-year extension. So now he is supposed to be the CEO until the end of 2026. And that's when it really just kind of pushed me to the edge. And I started reaching out to a couple other fellow podcasters and friends that I've made here in this Disney realm since starting the podcast and the Instagram feed. And I had kind of said to them, like, I don't know if I keep my mouth shut much longer. You know, I've been seeing X, Y, and Z going on behind the scenes, and I haven't said anything. And I feel like we're kind of reaching that breaking point where somebody has to say something. Somebody has to call him out for these things that have happened that he's been the head honcho for. He's been at that CEO position, and they're still happening. The bad things are still happening, and cast members are now starting to come out and complain a little bit where we never, ever used to hear that before. But I didn't know if I was ready to be fully out there saying that I was not happy with Bob Iger, and I was officially out on him now as CEO. But then the real thing that kind of broke the back here for me, that made me feel like, okay, you know what, this is now the time, is we're all aware of what's going on in Hollywood right now. The writers are on strike currently. They're talking about the Screen Actors Guild also getting involved and starting to strike as well pretty soon. But because of Bob Iger's contract extension coming out this week, there's a massive tech conference going on in Idaho right now. And CNBC's Squawk Box was out there, and they interviewed Bob Iger about his contract extension and some other things that were going on in pop culture in this space right now. And I'm gonna play a clip from that show. And I think if you listen to this clip and it kind of rubs you the wrong way, I would definitely recommend looking up the video for this as well. Not listen to the audio here. It'll kind of give you a good feeling of kind of what really put a bad taste in my mouth, but if you watch the video of it, it's a whole nother level, I think, of aggravation. So I'm gonna play the clip here first, and then I'll kind of explain why the video almost stings a little bit harder. But listen in on the clip here.
We're in the midst of a writer's strike, and very likely it would seem to have a actor's strike. How is that going to impact things, and what are your expectations there?
Well, I think it's very disturbing to me. We've talked about disruptive forces on this business and all the challenges that we're facing and the recovery from COVID, which is ongoing. It's not completely back. This is the worst time in the world to add to that disruption. I understand any labor organization's desire to work on the behalf of its members to get, you know, the most compensation, to be compensated fairly based on the value that they deliver. We managed as an industry to negotiate a very good deal with the Directors Guild that reflects the value that the directors contribute to this great business. We wanted to do the same thing with the writers, and we'd like to do the same thing with the actors. There's a level of expectation that they have that is just not realistic. And they are adding to a set of challenges that this business is already facing that is, quite frankly, very disruptive.
So they're not being realistic?
No, they're not.
So if you want to look up the video feed for that, it is hosted by David Faber, and that was from CNBC's Squawk Box. And if you just type Bob Iger Squawk Box into your Google search, it's definitely going to be the first thing that pops up for you. But if you watch that video feed, again, not only is the quote by itself just enough to put a bad taste in your mouth, the video feed, when he kind of ends that quote there that you just heard, as he's being asked that final question there, he kind of like almost rolls his eyes and like looks down and away to the side, like in disgust. And it's the first time I've ever heard Bob Iger speak, and I was just disgusted at what he said. And I was like, who is this guy? And to almost kind of make a joke about it, if I can, with the current Marvel show that's out right now, Secret Invasion, spoiler alert, I guess, maybe, but the whole point of this show is the Skrull characters that we first met in the Captain Marvel movie years ago. That's what this show is all about, and we don't know how many Skrulls there are around, and the Skrulls are infiltrating the government. And I honestly wonder, like, is this the same Bob Iger that we had back in the day before the pandemic hit? It feels like a completely different person. It looks like Bob Iger. It sounds like Bob Iger, but I honestly wonder if that's not a Skrull sitting there in that chair, just making themselves look like Bob Iger and sound like Bob Iger, because that Bob Iger is not the same Bob Iger that I feel like we all had as CEO back before the pandemic hit back in 2020. That quote from Iger honestly will bring it back to Taylor Swift again, because once again, when I heard that clip and then I went and looked up the video feed and I watched the video, all I could think about was Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. Because, baby, now we got Bad Blood. You know it used to be Mad Love. So take a look what you've done, because, baby, now we got Bad Blood. And that is word for word exactly how I feel about Iger. We all used to love this guy, and you look at what you've done lately since you've come back, and there's officially, at least between me and Bob Iger, there's bad blood. Now, like I said, if you look at the video footage, you see the just look of disgust on his face as that question there kind of comes to an end. But I mean, you can also just play the simple numbers game too, and it just, to me, only makes it even more upsetting to hear him talk like that, because I don't feel like we've ever heard Bob Iger talk like that about, I mean, the writers aren't cast members like at the park, where we're so used to just everybody in the Disney space just absolutely loving cast members all the time. Writers aren't kind of thought in that same realm, but they still work for the Disney company, a lot of them, the ones that work for ABC and Disney Studios, Disney Animation. All the Disney Plus shows are coming out now. There's plenty of people that work for the Disney company that are writers. So they're not cast members at the park, but they're still part of that Disney family. They work for the Disney company. And to hear that guy, where, like I said, if you think about it from a numbers aspect, Bob Iger makes around, with bonuses and everything all in, $27 million a year. And the average salary for a writer in Hollywood is, they estimate, anywhere between $60,000 and $65,000 a year for the average. If you do that math out again to the next level, $27 million a year for Bob Iger shakes out to about $74,000 per day. How does a person that makes $74,000 a day, how do they sit there and say somebody that makes $60,000 to $65,000 a year asking for protection against artificial intelligence from removing them from their job and asking for better compensation for the streaming world, because their current contract wasn't written when streaming was as big of a thing as it is today. How can people that are in a union act asking for those types of fair compensation, protection from a robot taking away their job, and asking to be paid more fairly based on how the landscape is in today's market with all the streaming sources that are out there? It just boggles my mind that somebody that makes what he makes per day and per year can basically put the blame on those people and saying that they're being too greedy and they're being unreasonable. It just feels so out of touch. It feels so disrespectful to those people. And it blows my mind, because that's not what we think of when we think of Bob Iger. Now, I can go through the list and talk about the things that I wish he would have done differently when he came back as CEO that he still to this day hasn't done yet. But at the end of the day, that's just all business stuff and difference of opinions and we can like this and we can understand how a business is going to make things or decide things differently. But just to see the look on his face and hear him talk about the writers like that is just, it just makes no sense to me. Like I said, it seems ridiculous to say it, but it literally feels like there is a Skrull wearing a Bob Iger costume right now. And because that's not the Bob Iger that I know from before the pandemic started. But if I am going to go back here and just kind of quickly try to go through kind of some of these instances where things were changing, things were happening under the Bob Iger era part two, that it just kind of was blowing my mind that he wasn't being called under the carpet or called to the carpet like we used to with Chapek. And I think the first one was when Disneyland first kicked off the 100-year celebration, and they put out their first Mickey statue that was to go hand-in-hand with this 100th celebration. We all laughed and kind of rolled our eyes and said, oh, Disney screwed up. They had the wrong quote on the statue. But if that had happened under Chapek, I'm the guy that used to make the reels that would call that guy out every time something got screwed up. I definitely would have been making a reel about Chapek blowing that one and allowing the wrong quote to go out on the statue, but not a peep. Not one person did I hear call Iger out on the carpet for allowing that to happen. Now, he came back in November. That statue went up in Disneyland at the very end of January. So, sure, maybe you think about how many months ahead of time they plan those things out and the amount of time they need to put into having them actually built and painted and shipped and get ready to go at the parks. Sure, he probably wasn't CEO in charge when that was happening. But I would have to think somewhere along the lines that had to have come across his desk. And even if it didn't, again, just there were probably things that happened that we complained about with Chapek that he really didn't have anything to do with it. He just happened to be the CEO at the time when that came out. But under Iger, nobody was calling him out for that. That just kind of flew right under the radar and nobody said anything. And I think the other thing that kind of really rubbed me the wrong way was I think there were so many things that Disney changed and took away from park guests that used to be free that they either flat out took away or they changed it up and they started charging for it post the pandemic situation. And again, I think coming out of the pandemic, fans were so happy just to be able to get back into the parks. So many people just wanted to see the cast members, as many of them get their jobs back as possible, get those jobs back, get those people back to work, and we wanted to come back to the parks and enjoy them and finally get out of our house for the first time in forever and just enjoy that Disney experience once again. So I think a lot of us felt like, you know, the Disney is a business. They need to protect the bottom line, and some tough decisions need to be made, but we kind of all looked the other way post-pandemic and just kind of went along with it. Magical Express was taken away. For those of you out there that aren't Walt Disney World guests frequently, Magical Express was a free bus service that used to pick you up from the airport. As long as you flew into MCO in Orlando, the bus would pick you up and bring you to any one of the Disney hotels that you stayed at. And same thing at the end of your vacation as well. You would book that ahead of time when you were booking your vacation package from the beginning. You would also get a Magical Express ride back to the airport at the end of your trip. And that was free. And guests took advantage of that for years and years and years. And that was eliminated after the pandemic. Magic Bands. Magic Bands used to be free. And anybody that stayed on Walt Disney World property got a Magic Band. It was just a basic color Magic Band. It was back before they had the Magic Band Pluses. So it didn't have all the extra bells and whistles. To it, didn't have any of the special character themes or anything, but you still got, if you just wanted a basic color Magic Band, you could get that as long as you stayed on some Walt Disney World property. Those were taken away, and you had to pay for those. And then they came out with the Magic Band Pluses, which is a whole other thing all in itself, but still, you don't, there's no free version that you get if you spend the money to stay on Walt Disney World property. The park reservation system, the park hopping hours for 2 o'clock, or the park hopping hours not even opening until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The dining plan never got brought back. Now we know it's been announced it's going to be coming back in 2024, but here we are now, still in 2023, with no dining plan for anybody going to Disney and trying to take advantage of that. And then obviously we all know about the Fast Pass system being replaced with Genie Plus. A different argument for a different day. We've had multiple You Know What Really Grinds My Gears episodes talking about that subject, so I will avoid that one today. But those are all things that we used to either get for free or all took advantage of with our Walt Disney World vacations before, that now, post-pandemic, we no longer got. And I think a lot of us thought when Iger was coming back, I think we all hoped that a lot of those things would come back and go back to the way they used to be. But realistically, we all knew that probably those chances were very, very small. But we thought at least, I mean, park hopping. How does Iger not walk back in after everything that we went through under Chapek? And how is that not one of the very first things he does and says, you know what, park hopping restrictions, they're out. There's no need for us to be continuing to do that right now. Again, we all understood coming out of the pandemic, staffing issues and cast members weren't back in full strength yet, and they really had to get an idea of exactly who was going to be in what park at what time, and they needed to make sure things were properly staffed. Fine, we understand. But it's been so long since that has ended now that it still seems ridiculous that that's still even a thing, even now today in July 2023, to still have to deal with a 2 p.m. start time for park hopping is just mind-boggling to me that Iger hasn't stepped up and changed any of that stuff. And one of the last kind of nitpicks that I've had with Iger is that back in March of 2023, he was interviewed and said, and I quote, Bob Iger quote here, "I've always believed that Disney was a brand that needed to be accessible. And I think that in our zeal to grow profits, we may have been a little bit too aggressive about some of our pricing." Well, you're the CEO. Why don't you change that? If you thought that they were too aggressive with their pricing choices and how much profit they were going after, why haven't you done anything about it? And if anything, it's gone in the opposite direction, because we've had ticket price increases along the way, which, again, fans understand it's a business. We all know that no matter what happens under perfect situations, hotel and resorts will always go up and ticket prices will always go up. That's part of the game. But you can't come out and say that you think that they were being too aggressive and they shouldn't have been that greedy with the profits, but then not do anything about it when you're the CEO. This wasn't a quote from when he was on the sidelines after he had retired from being a CEO and Chapek was in the big chair. This was March of 2023. Bob Iger, who had been back since November of the previous year as CEO, complaining about how greedy they were on the profits and doing nothing about it. And the one last thing that I do just have to get off my chest again too is the Disney IT issues. Whether it's people trying to renew Magic Keys and the sites crashing, when I myself tried to get a Walt Disney World annual pass, the queue opened up later than it was supposed to, and that website crashed during the day. And then the holiday party issues, all the things that all the Disneyland fans and California Adventure fans just had to deal with the Oogie Boogie Bash and all the Run Disney people. It's just over and over and over and over again. Still today, anytime there is a massively popular event that needs to have tickets sold ahead of time or needs to have reservations ahead of time, the IT department consistently fails at delivering a good experience to the guest. Whatever it is, like I said, whether it's Run Disney, an annual pass, a Magic Key, or any of the holiday parties, it always fails. And if you talk to anybody that works in IT that understands that subject better than just a person not in that IT world, they basically all say it just comes down to just investing the money. It's not like it's technology or the technology doesn't exist that can handle that amount of people going to the website. It's just investing in the amount of software, hardware, whatever the computer tech terminology is, but it's just strictly an investment thing. And if they spent the money appropriately, they could prevent that website from crashing. They could prevent all those issues from happening. Well, Iger, you've been back since November of 2022 now, and all these different events have happened while you've been CEO, and they never run smoothly. And again, just with the Oogie Boogie Bash one is the most recent one that has been crashing and having issues, and I still just didn't hear anybody putting the blame on Iger when we all know that if Chapek was still CEO at the time, everyone would be pointing at him saying this is his fault. He's still not investing the money. He's not doing it. But people are saying Disney should be investing the money. People are definitely venting. I'm not trying to say that people aren't frustrated and getting their feelings out there about how annoyed they are with Disney IT, but they leave it at just that. It's Disney IT that they're frustrated with. But Disney IT falls under the CEO's realm of responsibility. Why isn't the CEO getting the company to invest the money so that guests can have a better experience when they're trying to buy tickets to come to your park and your events and spend money in your parks? And you can't deliver a smooth, simple process for them to just buy their ticket. It's insane to me that he has been able to skate by all this time and not be called out to the carpet for it. And again, I had mentioned that I started texting and reaching out to some people, some close friends that I've made here in the podcasting space and in the Disney Instagram space, kind of in general, saying to them, you know, when the news broke and he signed the contract extension, I kind of said, I don't know how much longer I can bite my tongue here. It's really starting to bother me. But then that Squawk Box interview came out. I saw the quotes in writing in black and white. Then I went and looked up the video. And as soon as I saw the video, it made my skin crawl. It felt like a completely different guy. And I knew at that point, you know, I just don't know how much longer I can bite my tongue on it. And it just randomly happened to be that the day that Iger signed the extension, it's one of those things that we all kind of laugh about, that if you're in the Instagram space and you're trying to make reels, the reels that you put a lot of time into that you think, oh, I have a great idea here, but it's going to take a lot of editing and I got to snip the right lyrics at the right time and mix those in, and I need to label things differently and have these different little GIFs pop in and disappear kind of along the way. Those ones that you put a lot of time and effort into editing and building always seem to flop. No matter what the case is, they just never seem to do anything, and you'll get a few hundred views or 1,000 views or whatever, but it never really sparks fire and takes off. And the day that Iger signed the extension, I knew I didn't want to put in writing that I was excited that he was back. So I kind of left it in more generic terms, and I said, oh, this is him talking to the cast members, and the cast members are excited that he's coming back. And I used the clip from Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio when he's supposed to be getting fired and he's supposed to be leaving the job, and he kind of grabs the mic in front of everybody and he's like, I'm not leaving. And everybody gets excited and all claps for him. And again, at the time I was texting people saying, I just don't know if I'm ready to kind of put this opinion out there, because this is definitely the most risky or the most hot take that I've had so far to officially come out and say, I no longer support Bob Iger as CEO. I don't like this guy. I don't like the job that he's doing, and I wish they would go in a different direction. Easily the most nervous that I've been to put an opinion out like that into the Disney space here. But it just so happened to be that reel that I posted, it was one of those ones where, like I said, the ones that you just randomly throw up at the last minute, those are the ones that will just somehow suddenly spark and get the push from the algorithm, and you'll get thousands and thousands and thousands of views for. And all weekend long, that random reel that I just threw up in about 20 seconds, that reel has now jumped over 50,000 total views. And that post itself, that single reel, has multiple comments on there from just generic Disney fans in the Disney space, saying that they're not excited, they don't wish that this extension happened, they don't want any more extra time with Bob Iger. And I've also had multiple cast members, and I've promised them that I wouldn't put their names out there, but I have had multiple cast members reach out and complain about having Bob Iger currently as the CEO. They are not excited to have him sign an extension, and they're not excited to have him currently today be their CEO. And I never thought that that was going to be the case. I was so nervous. Like I said, I literally felt like I was the only person that was just getting sick and tired of the things that Bob Iger was getting away with and the changes that we got post-pandemic not going away. I felt like I was the only one that was putting that blame on Iger specifically. But after this weekend, the amount of DMs that I've had with people going back and forth, other Disney fans like myself or current cast members complaining about Bob Iger, it's what finally got me to the point today where I was like, you know what? It's time to call the audible. This is the time. We got to put it out there. And I can officially say today, Monday, July 17th, I am officially on record now being out on Bob Iger. Bob, we are never, ever, ever getting back together. And that is going to wrap it up today. That is all the venting I can do on Bob Iger today. If you continue to be a Bob Iger stan to this day and you hate my guts, I apologize. I am not here to ruin anybody's day or hurt your feelings in any way. If you still think Bob Iger is the man and is crushing it and doing a great job, all the power to you. I don't agree, but it doesn't change the way how I feel about you. I hope it doesn't change the way you guys feel about me. I was definitely nervous to put this opinion out there, but I was also very careful to not lie or try to sugarcoat anything and say that I basically still thought that Bob Iger was the man, or that he was crushing it or doing a great job. I just tried to basically kind of stay quiet on the sidelines. But once I saw that there's definitely at least a handful of other fans out there like myself that are frustrated, and the amount of cast members that I've talked to now that have specifically said that they are burnt out, they are frustrated, they are no longer happy with Bob Iger, it kind of felt a little bit more comfortable to finally feel like now is the time to talk about it openly here on the show. But this is definitely how I felt for a while here behind the scenes. But that'll wrap it up for today's episode of the podcast. Like I said, last week we do have the Elemental movie and the Indiana Jones movie that I still owe you guys opinions on. And we definitely, I've also mentioned here in the past, we got some other secret projects going on behind the scenes here at the DMSW podcast that very soon we'll be talking about those. Some bonus episodes, some extra episodes will be coming out here in the next few weeks. So we'll get into that information as well. Keep your eyes open for the eyeball emojis on Instagram. If you remember back when we were first kicking off the whole podcast Mics for Magic thing, we had some fun teasing that out there and trying to drop some hints through Instagram. And I will definitely be doing that again here starting up very soon, possibly even this week. So if you are not currently following me yet on Instagram, you can find the account at the DMSW podcast. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you checking out the show here week after week. If you have not had a chance to leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple, if you have not had a chance to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts, that is the best thing that you can do to help this podcast grow and continue to get in front of the eyes of more Disney podcasting fans like yourselves, like me. So if you haven't had a chance to do that yet, if you hadn't taken the time to support the show in that way, I would really, really appreciate it if you could do that, drop that 5-star rating write that written review. And as I always try to remind you guys too, don't just do it for this podcast, do it for any podcast that you listen to. If you are a fan of Disney podcasts, true crime podcasts, sports podcasts, comedy podcasts, whatever your podcasting thing is, if you have multiple shows that you listen to, the best thing that you can do to support those shows is to do the same thing. Give them a 5-star rating and do a written review. It really does help the show get through the algorithm in those podcasting apps, and it'll get it pushed further up the list. So when somebody's generically typing in Disney in there for searching for a new podcast to check out, those podcasts that get the written reviews get that push better, and your podcast will show up higher up on that list and have a better chance to find a new listener for the first time. So again, anybody that has already done that, I cannot thank you guys enough. If you haven't had a chance to do that yet, please take a few seconds and try to do that one today. And as always, if you do that, if you leave a written review, I will read it on the podcast on a future episode. So if you want to mention your Disney side hustle, the company that you work for, your social media channels, if you got a YouTube channel you want to put it out there, whatever your thing is that you want to get a little shout out for on the podcast, you just want to say hi to your kids, you want to say hi to your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is, put it on there and I will read it on the show. But that'll wrap it up for this episode here on the DMSW podcast. Thank you guys very much. I will talk to you guys next week. Take care.